Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
We're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat. Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trib Live Radio.
Before we get to our Bucko segment of the day, Adam Schefter weighs in with the latest on Ben Roethlisberger. According to Schefter, Roethlisberger was expected to be in a walking boot all week, but he is out of that boot and, quote, progressing ahead of schedule, per a source. It is still unlikely he plays Sunday, but it's Roethlisberger, dot, dot, dot.
So he'll play and suck. That's the dot, dot, dot that he's afraid to write that I'll say.
Well, better against the Browns than the Seahawks, because you'll say that against Seattle when he's ready to play, despite 2 weeks off for that one. And have we got Chow to weigh in on this? I'm tweeting at Pro Football Doc right now.
Good idea. Twitter. Because it's not officially an injury story unless the guy from his couch has something to say about it.
Dr. Chow, what does Ben out of walking boot mean?
Okay.
All right. On to the Pirates. It's time for our hot stove segment of the day. There is not, by the way, nothing. Has anybody signed anywhere in baseball? Has there been one signing? We have a week of free agency. We got GM meetings going on down in Boca Raton. All these discussions, nothing. Some big domino's got to fall before anything else happens,
just
I guess.
Just following one of the guys that I used to follow in Boston, Pete Abraham from the Globe. Dave Dombrowski said again that in terms of trade and free agent talks, this is a far more active GM meeting than usual.
It is? I mean... Not one signing. This is the NFL. The whole league would have been signed by now. But anyway.
Yankees made a trade.
Who did they get?
They traded Aaron Hicks. They got Aaron Hicks from the Minnesota Twins for John Ryan Murphy and infielder Jose Perella.
Wow. There's a game changer. Well, and the Pirates made a trade. As we found out yesterday, they traded Jim Benedict for a player. We didn't know this, but the trade that they made for Trevor Williams, the right-hander, was a compensation deal that was agreed to because the Marlins signed away Jim Benedict from the organization and the management structure. Guy, have you ever heard of it? I mean, I guess we did, because you said you put out the notebook reading where a non-player is traded for a player, but in terms of an executive to be traded, I can't remember. I guess there have to be some, but I can't remember this certainly for Pittsburgh that it happened. And is it worth it to trade
Jim
Benedict?
Well, when Theo Epstein went to the Cubs and they made a trade with pitchers involved, Red Sox and the Cubs, that benefited.
That's true?
Yeah, so that happened. I gave you the Chuck Tanner thing, which was a baseball manager. Yeah, I don't think it's completely out of the ordinary. I kind of wonder. It seems to me like they kind of tried to hide it.
Yeah, I mean, so
it got out
yeah,
that a
exactly.
lot of people started writing about it yesterday.
Yeah, why when they released the trade didn't they say this is in partial compensation? Because this guy, this Trevor Williams, I remember the day the trade was made. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm thinking, man, it seems like they got the best of this deal. Well, now I know why. I mean, he was the number 8 prospect in the Marlins organization according to Baseball America.
He had mostly double A innings, right? A little bit triple A. 10 games in relief in the Gulf Coast League 2 last year. Oh, no, sorry. That was Mitchell, the guy that they
gave up. Yeah, I think he actually, didn't he pitch a few games in the majors last year?
Okay, maybe he did. Maybe we should be more aware of him. Like, where does he slot in? If he's another bullpen guy, he's like the Soria replacement then? Could Trevor Williams be a big piece in their bullpen and they traded Jim Benedict to get him? Is that worth it?
The funny part about this whole trade to me is general managers, baseball executives have done so much in recent years with sabermetrics to quantify the value of player X versus player Y. I mean, the stat of war, in essence, got created for this very reason, correct? Let's take all the stats, throw them together in a hopper, and we'll create another stat which shows you if player X is better than player Y, and if so, by how much. And now you're just going to take that and flush it down the toilet when talking about what proper compensation is for
a league executive. Like, is there a league executive war that I'm not aware of? So Jim Benning must have a really high war then if he's going to be worth a second-round pick.
E-war. Yeah, he had like a 9-war in the executive ranks.
Yeah, E-war. What's E-war?
I don't know.
Well, his contract wasn't up. I mean, should the Pirates, as valuable as he was, should the Pirates have just played hardball, no pun intended, and said, hey, he's still under contract, we're not letting you take him, he's staying here? Or is that unfair to a guy who gets a chance?
Maybe he wanted out. Maybe he would have, like, thrown a fit. Like, you're blocking me from advancing in my career.
I've seen that happen in our business, and no, the management doesn't care. I don't know if you guys remember. Remember Steve Zabriskie?
Yeah.
He, when he was the sports director, I think he was a sports director at Channel 4 in the early 1980s, he got offered the Anaheim Angels and Southern Cal play-by-play jobs, I believe. And Channel 4 wouldn't let him out of his contract to go take it. He really wanted those jobs, too. And he eventually wound up doing some games for the Mets, I think on WOR.
Yeah, he did. That's how I remember him.
But, you know, he – in fact, I think he played for Southern Cal. He's maybe a California – I can't remember at the time. I was trying to get into Channel 4 at the time and hoping he would take it and get out of there because it would create an opening. You don't always have to honor a guy's wishes to leave unless you really think that – I mean, it might be the fair thing to do. And if they got a great relationship and said, hey, if you don't want to be here, we don't want you.
They'd also taken Mark Del Piano, the special assistant. So this was the second guy they'd pilfered. So
in like 24 hours, right? I mean, it was.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Right. So, okay, so they got this lopsided trade for a prospect, a right-handed bullpen prospect.
And the other thing that Benedict did too, Ken, that he was big in advanced scouting for the Pirates. I mean, that's what I was saying the other day. These are the kind of things you don't really – we're sitting here arguing over whether they should have bunted in this situation or if they should have used the relief pitcher 4 days in a row or whatever we argue about. These are the kind of behind-the-scenes things that you don't see that can cause an organization to have an edge or to fall apart or not be as good. Advanced scouting is very important.
All right, now in terms of the players that are in the big league club that they are shopping, we think Mark Melanson's one of them, and there's some new reporting on this at MLB.com, Tim.
I just tweeted this out, yeah. I think Pirate fans are going to love these quotes from Neil Huntington in MLB.com. Go to my Twitter feed, at Ben's Trib Live 970. Quote, it might feel like we're taking a step backward, but we've been able to fill some holes in the past with some guys who have stepped in and done tremendous jobs for us. Goes on to say, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't explore what might be out there. How do we take a player with 1 year of contribution left and potentially look to turn that into two players with multiple years of contribution or one player that has a significant years of contribution remaining? In other words, we're trading everybody you like. Get ready for it.
He's been, you know, priming the pump on that for a year. Maybe not Melanson so much, but Neil Walker for sure. In terms of Melanson,
priming the pump on that since the day he took the job, it seems.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, we talked to Beer Temple about this yesterday. Is Melanson's value lower because there are all these other bullpen arms out there, including Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go with this whole discussion is I keep hearing that Mark Melanson is on the market. You know what I haven't seen yet? Has anybody seen a legitimate, like, he is rumored to be going here. He is rumored to be going there. We all know Mark Melanson's on the market. I don't know who's shopping for him, though. Because the first story that came out day one of those meetings was everybody's trying to trade their closer. So if everybody's trying to trade their closer, that means no one's looking for a closer.
Well, who do you guys think is Chapman the most attractive guy there?
Oh, I think for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first guy that signs and then the dominoes will – everybody's waiting. If he's the guy that everybody wants, you're not going to sign Melanson if you think you have a chance of signing Chapman. So,
well, no, but he's a trade, though.
If you're looking for a closer, the Melanson deal's kind of on the back burner for the reasons that we talked about. Like I said yesterday, you know, they're looking at miles per hour. They're not looking at total saves. Total saves is a little more of a team thing than what a guy can do throwing the ball through a locomotive.
True, but he should be cheaper than Chapman, too. So if you think you're not going to pay the exorbitant rate for Chapman, whatever he's going to cost, maybe you can get Melanson for a little bit more reasonable return. I don't know. It seems like it's a done deal.
Ken, it's 10 o'clock at the club. All the women are still available. Like when it gets to be 1 o'clock, then you start Settling for the cheap one or the one that doesn't throw 110 miles an hour? Right now, you got your pick of the. You're still scoping the place out.
Okay, well, I mean,
I think that's why there's been inactivity. I think it'll happen in a hurry. Once one of them goes,
our staff has done a great job to help the player either be what he was before or be better than he was before. It's been back-end bullpen guys, it's been middle relievers and long relievers. It's been incredibly efficient for us to do that.
It's including been Jim Melancon. Benedict.
Does Mark Melancon have his house on the market yet?
What's Ray Searidge's E-War? He's got to be 10-plus, isn't he? Well, that's true with the bullpen. We haven't seen them flip star players in the field yet, and that's Neil Walker. Well, if you want to call him a star, or Pedro Alvarez. But yes, he's right. They have absolutely rebuilt the bullpen every year with players that have ascended, including Hanrahan going for Melancon. And I'm assuming Watson is their closer then next year. And is that worrisome? I guess not. It's a little bit untraditional, but because he's a lefty, but he throws hard. I guess I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of lefty closers out there now.
Chapman's a lefty, right?
Yeah, Chapman and...
Well, look, I didn't think Mark Melancon went... I loved him as a setup guy. I was nervous about him becoming a closer. Same thing with Grilly, because I wasn't sure about what Grilly had left. I thought that was the perfect role for him. He became a really good closer. Mm-hmm. Similarly with Melancon, I thought, boy, this guy's a really good setup guy, but does he have the pit bull mentality to become a closer? I guess he didn't need it, because he was good enough to not blow any saves. You know?
Yeah.
So I've been nervous about it in the past, and yes, Neil Huntington is right. They've done a really good job with all these reclamation project guys. I just wonder how many times you pump that well before it runs dry.
One other baseball note I wanted to get in. We were talking about Cuba yesterday, just as an aside, and now that the embargo's been lifted by Obama, there's a story at MLB.com about this.
You're going to give me cigars for Christmas.
Well, that too. 100 players have left Cuba in search of a major league contract in the last 12 months. They're talking about this one guy in particular, some 24-year-old Yasiel Sierra, who can be a top-of-the-rotation pitcher. But anyway, I guess there's all these free agents now from Cuba that are available, but you still have to go through the international signing period and not exceed your bonus slot. So this is kind of a complex thing involved with baseball. Now, there are certain teams that can't sign anybody this year that cost more than $300,000 because they've gone over the last few years, which includes the Cubs, Dodgers, Giants, and Royals. But other teams,
Cubs,
like the Pirates,
Dodgers, Royals, and who?
Giants. They cannot sign any pool-eligible prospects for over $300,000 for the next two international signing periods after they exceeded their bonus this year. Other teams like the Angels, Diamondbacks, Rays, Red Sox, and Yankees are already in the maximum penalty for blowing past their pools last year.
Right, that's what I was going to say next. So guys like Yosmani Tomas and
Yoan Moncada. Yeah. But anyway, so there's like 100 guys out there, and the Pirates could go after one of these. Now, these are 19 to 23-year-old Cubans, but they haven't blown through their pool. I wonder if they're going to go from South Korea now back to Cuba. This is the year to go after Cubans, right? After the embargo, and it's easier to get players, and there's 100 of them that are ready to depart. So keep that on your radar. As this signing period is, I guess it's underway, right? I don't know when the international period goes for it. I think it starts coming up soon and then goes for a whole year, you know. And then they reboot it again. This other thing, Tim, you wanted to get into in the baseball frame was rule changes possibly coming up.
Yeah, they're actually talking about the sliding rules. I hope that Joe Torre's seen all the plays now.
What? Well, of course he did because it involved a high-profile team in the playoffs. He went back and watched
that's right.
Gung injury.
Yeah.
That was nice of Joe to really take that on.
Push the
concern.
Envelope.
But what do you think? Is this all talk?
It's so simple. It's so easy. All you got to do is take the line out of the rule book that disqualifies the line before it. Like, go to Section 6.1, erase that line, and just stick with Section 5.9 that says you will have the out impacted on the base runner going to first base if you slide outside of the baseline. That's it. It's that simple. you will incur the out for the batter going to first base if you slide outside of the baseline in an effort to break up a double play.
Did the catcher thing affect how they're going to word this or enforce it? Because we had all these catcher issues 2 years ago. Then they stopped calling it, basically, this year. They were, like, too aggressive on it. They had to tweak the rules. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's as simple as just scratching a line out of there. But they're not going to take the takeout slide out of baseball, right? That's not going to happen.
Why not? Why not? I mean, why can't they?
I mean, I guess they could. I guess the international guys play that way, including Gung, who got hurt.
All these guys that we just talked about, we just spent 10 minutes talking about the international signing period. What, those, they don't have baseball over there because there's no takeout slide?
I don't know. What do you think, Guy? Can you get rid of it altogether? Just go back to any contact?
I would not do that. I think you can change the rule the way Tim said. You can make it cut and dried. You have to slide to the base, and you have to slide early enough. If you slide late, you can police it before you make the drastic change. If there's still a ton of guys getting hurt, then maybe you change it more completely in a couple years. I don't think you have to eliminate it completely.
The quote from Torrey, and this story is in the MLB notebook today in the Trib, "We don't want to have guys carried off the field. Obviously, you can't lose sight of what the game is about. You don't want somebody just not trying to get to second base and not trying to keep the inning going. It's a thin line that you have to walk, and that's why it's really tough to put pen to paper. ... especially if the player is from New York." End quote. Oh, sorry. I embellished there a little bit.
Yeah, different roles for different teams.
But, I mean, it's really not that hard. They've got it written down. They just need to take out the line in the two rules later that battles the line that they had already written earlier in the rule book.
Yeah. All right, keep an eye out for that. Also, thanks to Doug, one of our tweeps, who points out, per Peter Gammons, four people, according to Peter, have insisted that Aroldis Chapman will be moved by the end of the weekend. So Chapman will be going. And there you go, Guy. We'll be getting closer to 1 a.m. at the bar then, if
that's right.
Truly the case, once Chapman goes.
Closing time.
Also, the NHL equipment rule changes. They were talking about this during intermission reports last night with Bob McKenzie, and he addressed this push to... He said basically they're not going to make the nets bigger, guys, so you're going to be happy there. There's too much opposition to it. People are hesitant to change the nets even by a little bit. And he even said, though, that they want change in the goalie equipment, but the Players Association is fighting back big time. They're going to bring up all these potential drawbacks, including the pads getting lower and the susceptibility to injuries, and it's a real fight. Now, I don't know if it's a staged fight for the next CBA or whatever, that they're going to, you know how that goes. It's like ammunition for the Players Association. We'll give you this, but we want this in return. But it's not going to happen easy, it sounds like.
Goals per game average through this point of the season.
Yeah, he said last night, by the way, they're lowest in 10 years at this point in the year.
Only 5.5 per game last year at this time, 5.32 per game this year at this time. But go back 10 years, and it's down from 6.16 goals per game to 5.32.
There it is.
Almost a whole goal a game.
Yeah, that's pretty significant.
Quick update from Penguin practice. Seismic changes when it comes to defensive pairings.
Silaps is back?
They are trying anything and everything with the D pairings. Mata and Dumoulin, Mata and Letang, Scuderi and Cole. I'm just reading Twitter here from various people. They're bouncing around all over the place. Seismic, Ken.
I don't want to hear that, Tim. Let's just, it's going to change. Well, one period
up,
in.
They've given up 8 goals in 2 games. It's time to panic.
Nope, insignificant. Waste of tweets. Coming up in the noon hour.
No Malkin or Cullen, too, just FYI.
Glad to see you're coming around to my way of thinking, Ken.
We'll bring Josh Taylor into the fold. Talking Steelers and Penguins for the most part today. Was it a signature win for the Penguinos last night? And Steelers quarterbacks, Landry, short leash, long leash, Mike Vick, any consideration for it? Got our Bucko fix in. Derek Schooley's going to join us at 12:40 today. Robert Morris hockey coach. And Mike Graw in the 1 o'clock hour of the radio program. Chris Peek as well with Panther Lair. And we got the James Conner injury news in there, right? He is doubtful. Yeah, we got to that last segment. Just a quick reminder, Jerry DePaula mentioned that no James Conner this weekend. But the Ben news I find to be somewhat interesting, that he's out of the walking boot. We'll discuss these Steelers quarterbacks, reset that for you coming up top of the hour. All brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza, and we're brought to you by Duffy's Beer in Pleasant Hills.
The aorta is still in a wrap, though.
He hasn't played on turf yet either, so give that some time. Four Horsemen next.
Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. Bud Light, and Coors Light 30-pack cans, only $18.99. Plus Miller Light and Yingling 24-pack cans for only $14.99. Winter and Christmas beers are arriving daily. Give the gift of good cheer this Christmas with a gift card to Duffy's, your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills, online at duffysbeer.com.